There's no prayer that's known more, though, and I think that right behind Shema Yisrael there's another prayer that's second place in the knowledge of the Jewish people. Can anyone want to guess what prayer that is?
Kaddish,
correct. And there's a third prayer that we want to speak about today.
What was that?
You're right. No, you got to admit it. I think Shema Yisrael, Kaddish, and there's a third prayer that's known. And don't say Yisker, because no one knows Yisker Baal Peh.
Modani.
And what's the fourth in the line?
Ashrei?
Nah, I doubt it. Nope. Aleinu. Aleinu is said three times a day by a Jew. Aleinu is ultimately there every time. There's songs that were composed to it. It's known. Even people that come late to shul on Shabbos know Aleinu.
Not the ones who leave early.
Not the ones that leave early, but the ones that come towards the end and ultimately get the Kiddush would know Aleinu. And especially in Chutz La'aretz when Aleinu is sung in such a dramatic way that this is pretty known. Where does Aleinu originate from? This is no deep, dark secret. From the times of Yehoshua, yes, we have an ancient tradition that Yehoshua said it after he captured. But in our prayer service,
I think it's from the Middle Ages, isn't it?
Which it originates crusade? From where? From which time of the year?
Yom Kippur.
No. Close, though. Very close.
Rosh Hashanah.
It's part of Malchuyot. If you look at the prayer service of Aleinu, it ultimately talks about God's kingship. So it's part of Malchuyot, one of the three added blessings that we say on Rosh Hashanah and Musaf. As time went on, it went on to Yom Kippur, as Yaakov said, and ultimately it got to our prayer service. So I understand what it has to do with Rosh Hashanah, Malchuyot. Yom Kippur, after all, Malchuyot, God's kingship, has something to do with Yom Kippur as well. But how come it's at the end of every single service that a Jew says? So here we come to a fascinating machlokes, really fascinating, between the Magen Avraham in the name of the Ari and the Bach. The Magen Avraham in the name of the Ari says, we're supposed to say it, it's a big zgula to say it after all three prayers of the day, after every prayer service. He doesn't explain why, he just says, as the Jews say, there's an inyan, something that has to do with Kabbalah, something that has to do with the mystical part of Judaism, I'm not familiar with. That's what the Magen Avraham says in the name of the Ari. Comes along the Bach and gives a totally different reason. He says that what does a Jew do after davening? Davening is over. Where does a Jew go?
Home.
He goes home. He goes out to the big world. Who is he going to meet out there? He's only going to meet the people who he davened with? The 10 men that are so careful about halacha that they come to Minyan? Who is he going to meet? Goyim. Idol worshippers. You can go on and on. Mafiosters. People that are less than moral. Even Jews. So says the Bach, when a Jew leaves the shul, what has to resonate in his ears is the words of Aleinu. Both that we have an obligation towards one God, not towards other gods. Number two, one day, despite what I'm seeing outside, despite the reality, everything is going to be beautiful. There's going to be a real v'taken olam b'malchut shakai. The world's going to be fixed in the kingship of God, and not the way tikkun olam is being used today, but the real way it should be used. It's going to be a beautiful world. So ultimately, says the Bach, the Bayit Chadash, Rav Yoel Sirkis, that when a Jew leaves the shul, what should resonate in his ears is the words of Aleinu. And I'm adding twofold. Number one, that we have one God. Despite everyone out there that has different avodah zarah, some people are mishuabad, are enslaved to their money, others are enslaved to other things, we are enslaved only to God. We bow only to God. I just finished a beautiful book I asked you all to read. If you want to know a little modern Jewish history, there's a book that just came out called The Prime Ministers by Yehuda Avner. If you like Jewish history, you have to read this book. He was on the inside with Levi Eshkol, Golda Meir as prime minister and as foreign minister, Yitzhak Rabin in his first term, and Menachem Begin, which you can see in the book, he respects above all. Menachem Begin once said, he says, a Jew only bows before God. And Rav Soloveitchik, who came also from the world of Brit, though he wasn't born there, just like Menachem Begin, said that many times. I don't surrender my mind to a party. I don't surrender my mind to a politician. And I don't surrender my mind to anyone. I surrender to God and only God alone. So ultimately, that's the first thing that should resonate in our minds. That's the first stanza of Aleinu. And the second thing is that one day things are going to be great. Vayomahu yeh Hashem echad ushmo echad. Despite what you're about to meet out there, one day we're going to live in a world without terror. We're going to live in a world without these hardships. We're going to live in a world that's going to be fixed. It's not yet there, but we're on our way. There could be endless nafkaminas between the Magen Avraham and the Bach, between saying that this is a message a Jew needs constantly versus saying there's an Indian to finish your davening with Halakha nafkamina. Give me the first nafkamina you all know on this question, and I'll give you a hint. Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfarad. When you say it, New Fred, explain. Right. Correct. The Sfaradim say it all the way at the end. I mean literally at the end. And as Fred said, the Ashkenaz, not exactly at the end, but after davening. So I think this is exactly these two points of view. According to the Magen Avraham, it has to be said after davening. It doesn't say it has to be the last thing. It has to be said after davening. The requisite davening ends with the Kaddish Tizkada. Everything at the end is add-on. So, davening's over, we say Aleinu. Aleinu is more important than everything else. After all, it comes from Malchiel, it has a great message. We say it. According to the Bach, it should resonate in the ears of a Jew. And then when should we say Aleinu? At the last very moment of Shacharis, when a Jew's about to face the world out there. There's other nafkaminas we can think about between these two points of view. Let me give you a for instance. Sashi Vanka used to say a for instance. Gentlemen, you ever been to a Mincha Ma'ariv? A Mincha Ma'ariv, I have to admit I have problems with halachically. Mincha Ma'ariv means you can literally daven Mincha Ma'ariv after Mincha. If you daven Mincha and Ma'ariv around Plag HaMincha, which is what the early Shabbos is based on, then you can have a Mincha Ma'ariv, because Plag HaMincha is exactly 1 minute. So Plag HaMincha, for take a case of example, anyone know when it is today? Anyone? Does anyone care? 6:17, 6:18, so let's check it here in the phone, make sure we got our times right. Whatever it is, you can daven Mincha before Plag HaMincha, and Ma'ariv right after Plag HaMincha. You may say there's no Ben HaShemashot, there's no twilight zone, there's supposed to be a twilight zone. So this point of view probably so much on the day of Rabbi Yossi, I believe, that says twilight is exactly a split second. So, whatever it is, let's see what it is today. Today, Plag HaMincha is 6:19, as you all guessed correctly. So if you daven Mincha and you finish at 6:18, at 6:20 you can daven Ma'ariv. But if you don't do this Plag HaMincha trick, and you daven Mincha and Ma'ariv around Shkia, then I do have a halachic problem with the Mincha Ma'ariv minions, because ultimately you're davening Ma'ariv at a time which is not yet dark. You're usually davening Ma'ariv around Ben HaShemashot, twilight, which is both day and night. But ultimately, it's not the best thing in the world, but sometimes, as you know from Chutz La'aretz, there's no choice. Jews are not going to come back and forth twice. Right? If you daven early, Plag HaMincha, so there's no problem. You can daven Ma'ariv right after Plag HaMincha. Nothing changes. The minute Plag HaMincha 6:19 is over, by 6:20 till the morning, you can daven Ma'ariv. If you daven Mincha at 7, then you should theoretically wait until night, namely till darkness, to daven Ma'ariv. You shouldn't do what we call a Mincha Ma'ariv. Namely, a Mincha Ma'ariv is that if Shkia today is at, 7:45, let's say, then they daven Mincha and they finish at 7:44, and at 7:46 they daven Ma'ariv. So the Somech on the Shita that says that Ben HaShemashot is a really night, it's also day but it's night, and you can daven Ma'ariv. Sometimes you have no choice. You have to Somech on the Shita. If you want to look at it, it's at the first daf of Maseches Brachos, and the Tosfos, you can see where he brings up this issue.
But what Alex is saying is, if you can daven at 6:20, why can't you daven at
6:00? Alex, I didn't understand your question. My apologies. Now I understand your question. The answer is as follows. You cannot take two shitas and play around with it. Into the shita that you can daven mincha until shkia, ultimately, after Plag HaMincha is not Ma'ariv time yet. Ma'ariv time is only with darkness. According to the Shita that's Plag HaMincha, then you can daven Ma'ariv right after Plag HaMincha, on condition that when did you daven Mincha? Before Plag HaMincha. So when you mix Shitas, that's called a Tarte de Satre.
How do you finish it?
Right. You have to finish before pluck. If you take two shitas, that's a problem. The Shulchan Aruch addresses it. The Ramah says, if there's no choice, there's no choice. Sometimes in Chutz La'aretz, there is no choice. But if there is a choice, then obviously that's not the best thing to do. No problem. That's correct. If you daven mincha at 1:30, you can daven ma'ariv after pluck. Correct. But if you daven mincha at 7:30, you can't then look back and say, well, you know, it's really ma'ariv time already. It was mincha time until I finished mincha. The minute mincha is over, it's ma'ariv time. Yeah. Anyway, gentlemen, there are mincha ma'ariv minyans for very good, valid reasons around the world, because Jews will not come back twice. So, gentlemen, you daven mincha ma'ariv. You daven mincha, you finish, let's say, at 6:17. You have 2 minutes till ma'ariv. Do you say aleinu between mincha and ma'ariv?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're not leaving.
Zikach alamdin. According to the Magen Avraham, name of the Ari, after every davening, you should say aleinu. So, my mincha is over, you say aleinu. Right? Very good. According to the other view that says when a Jew goes out there, aleinu should resonate in his ears, and perhaps there shouldn't be an aleinu between mincha and ma'ariv, because a Jew's not going out there.
Yeah, but
can anyone give me a precedent from the year in which we don't say aleinu because we're not going out there? Tisha B'Av we do. But you're close. Yom Kippur. We say aleinu at night because we're going home. During the morning. Shacharis. Musaf, Mincha, Ne'ilah, there's no Aleinu. Because the Jews not, if you look at the ancient Machzorim, there were so many Piyutim in Eran, the Jew didn't leave the shul, there was no break.
So if you do
and even today, a break is a break, but a break means an hour. It doesn't mean you're going out to the big world. You're in shul all day. If you're in shul all day, then ultimately you don't say Aleinu.
Wait. If you go to Vatikin, you finish by, let's say, 10.
If you go to Vatikin and you finish by 10, you got a good shayla. You have a good time.
No,
all the Machzorim don't say Aleinu. And it's very hard to understand if you go to Vatikin, you have a whole day. You have 5 hours between Shacharis and Mincha. How come there's no Aleinu in between Musaf and Mincha? Excuse me? That's a good shayla on that. But if you're daven in a regular minyan, I can understand it better. According
home.
To the Bach.
You're going home. You're not going to work. You're not going out. You're not...
No, I don't.
Store.
Though if you have a good suggestion that because it's Yom Kippur and you're not going to the big world, and therefore you don't say Aleinu. However, though, if that would be correct, how come we say Aleinu on Shabbos and Yom Kippur? That's something to think about.
Also,
so anyway,
more calm if you're in Brooklyn, let's say, kind of mixed in anyway.
So anyway, gentlemen, it's a very fascinating issue, but I have to tell you that to this day there are shuls that do not say Aleinu at Mincha. When I was in Italy at the beginning of the year, they don't say Aleinu at Mincha ever. And if you ask me where this came from, I think it was a shirbuv of a minhag that they used to daven Mincha and Ma'ariv together. So therefore, they didn't say Aleinu between Mincha and Ma'ariv. However, to this day, when they daven Mincha at 1:30, they don't say Aleinu. What do you mean you should?
That's exactly why you should, so that you don't lose that when you don't daven them together.
That's right, that's why you should. So gentlemen, we have a fascinating machlokes as to why we say Aleinu after davening between the Magen Avraham and the Bach, and we found various practical ramifications as to the difference between the two views. This may explain also another interesting machlokes between Ashkenazim and Sephardim as to the placement of Sfirat HaOmer. Now there's other reasons for this, but one of the reasons I could suggest is very simple. If you say Aleinu, has to be after, then say Aleinu, then say Sfirat HaOmer. Tadir v'she'ino, tadir, tadir kodem, whatever is more frequent comes first. Say Aleinu, then say Sfirat HaOmer. Who does this? The Sfardim.
The opposite of what,
of what they do in davening.
Yeah.
It's non-consistent.
Yeah.
Correct. But according to the view that says this should resonate in the ears of a Jew when he leaves the bubble of the shul, then you should say Aleinu after Sfira, like is the Ashkenazic minhag. So gentlemen, we found ramifications between these two points of view. These are two different understandings as to how Aleinu is at every single prayer service. However, they both agree that Aleinu is very vital, be it that it has to be after the service all the time, or be it that because of the words of it, it should resonate in the ears of a Jew. It's so important that halachically, we have a halacha with regard to Aleinu that we don't have with regard to any other davening, with the exception of Shema Yisrael. too late. And the people are saying, Hodu. Mizbola Toda, Yehi Chavod, Ashrei. Do you say it with them?
No.
No. You go your own pace. They're in the middle of Birkos Kriyat Shema. There's halachas how to catch up. But you catch up. You don't just, wherever they are, I am. They even started Shmoneh Esrei with the exception of Ma'ariv. You say Ashrei, you daven Shmoneh Esrei. Mincha is no big deal. It's all there is. One little Ashrei. Right? Ma'ariv, you do say the Shmoneh Esrei first and then you make up the Birkos Kriyat Shema afterwards. But there's one part of the prayer service that if the tzibur is saying it, you should stop what you're doing and say it with them. What's that? Close, close, close. First, let's start. You're right. Shema. Kabbalat ol malchut shamayim, accepting the yoke of heaven, you say it with the tzibur. But the second example is Aleinu. Very fascinating. Aleinu, which started on Rosh Hashanah, somehow got into Yom Kippur. Eventually, the minhag is to say it every day. After every davening, you come into the shul and the thing, and you've already finished davening, you've finished everything, what do? You say Aleinu with them. Now take this Aleinu minhag of every single day, and you heard the two understandings, and let's take it to a new place. What other two times do we say Aleinu? Aleinu, that's where it started from. But what are the other two times of the year that we say it? Kiddush Levana and Brit Mila. Why? For Kiddush Levana and Brit Mila. Let's understand why. Here I have to say it's going to be not because it should be said after davening. If that would be the case, you'd say it after you light the Hanukkah candles. You'd say it after every mitzvah. And it's not because this is what resonates in the ears of the Jew. You just said Aleinu a minute ago. You finished davening. What is a Brit Mila and Kiddush Levana for us? This is what separates us from the rest of the world. We have a lot in common with humanity. We share common values. We want to be healthy. We want to be well. But we also have a special, unique mission in the world as Jews. And what specifies our unique mission? Number one, physically in our bodies, there's a difference. We have a Brit Mila. And number two, while all the nations of the world have certain idol worship, forms of idol worship, we do Kiddush Levana, the halacha is very clear, and everyone should know this. You look at the Levana once, and you say Kiddush Levana. You don't dive into the moon. So whatever direction the moon is that night, you should look at it, turn towards Yerushalayim, and say the bracha on the Levana. It's not proper to dive into the moon. Because we are different. We don't dive into the moon, or to the stars, or to the sun. We dive in to God. And therefore, we look at the moon, we make a blessing on the renewal of the moon, but ultimately, we don't dive into the moon. And these are the two parts of our life that makes us different. That we say we have one God and we surrender only to Shabbeach La'adon Hakol. We must say a praise to the Master of the Universe, Bris Mila. That really makes a physical distinction between us and the rest of the world. And Kiddush Levana, even when we're outside looking at nature, we don't worship nature, we sanctify nature. What's the difference between worshiping nature and sanctifying nature? Guys, you're used to this. I don't ask theoretical questions.
We're not talking to nature, we're talking to God, thanking Him for nature.
Correct. Let's take that one step further now. There are people that worship nature. What's worshiping nature? It's saying, I was born a Ganav, so I'm going to be a Ganav. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to change it. I don't care if the Torah says lo tignol. My nature is to steal. I am a kleptomaniac. So therefore, I should go on and steal. Don't fight against it. I am a kasam. I have a bad temper. So if I have a bad temper, that's the way I was born. Don't fight it. Work with it. Let it out. Judaism is absolutely opposed to that point of view. We don't look at nature and say everything's great and wonderful and terrific, and we have to worship it. We have to take nature and continue the creation of the world and continue to fix it. V'taken olam b'malchut shakai. So therefore, we look at the moon, we look at the stars, we don't say, wow, the world is perfect the way it is. We say the world is great, but there's what to fix. Yes, you go to a chasana. Everyone is so happy. The chasana and kala can barely take their eyes off of each other. The rabbi made a beautiful service, he officiated at the wedding, the mother of the bride, the mother of the groom, both cry. Success. That's success at a wedding. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. If there isn't tears, you weren't successful. Do it over. New? Everyone is beautiful. What do you do at the end?
Break a glass.
You break a glass. Why do you break a glass? It's always so hard. The one that officiates his weddings, everything's so great and beautiful, and you have to break the simcha.
The world is not only happiness.
Correct. Mel said beautifully. The world is not perfect the way it is. There's terror. There's, unfortunately, reckless drivers in Israel. There's problems.
Democrats
last night,
in
Rahmano Islam, what?
There are Democrats in America.
He's a friend of the country. He says it.
Yes, there's the Obamas in the world. There's people that don't like us. The world is not perfect. We look at Kiddush Levana, we look at the moon, we say, great moon. Now we're going to fix it. And what do we say when we say Kiddush Levana? You ever look at the bracha? Baruch atah Hashem Eloheinu melech ha'olam, Hashem ma'amaral, barash hakim, avurach piv, kol tzvahav, kol kuzman atan l'Hashem, shelo yishanu etafkidam. You made nature. Nature is good. The nature doesn't change. Tassim usbachim la'atot v'tzom kanam. They're all happy to do what you want. Po'el emet, shepul la'atot emet. Everything you did was great. Then all of a sudden we change our tune. What do we say at the end? The Levana constantly changes. Because nature should constantly change. Not the nature, but the way we live in nature. We don't just accept everything. We fix the world. That's our unique mission. That's our kina kavalecha. We don't accept the world the way it is. We fix it. An 8-day-old baby comes out of the world. 8 days later, we already fix it. So therefore, at those two times of the year, we say Aleinu because of the words of it. We surrender only before God, not before nature. We're different. And therefore, we have a mission to continue to fix the world. And thus, at those two times of the year, Kiddush Levana and Bris Milah, we say Aleinu afterwards. Not another time. Hanukkah candles, no. But at those two times of the year, you say Aleinu. So gentlemen, next time you look at Aleinu, you have to know that it's very important. It's so important that if the whole Tzibur is saying Aleinu, we just happen to walk in, you say it with them. Not true with regard to Ashrei, and not true with regard to Shmona Esrei. You ready, Daven Mincha? I always stick on Dr. Sevier, because Dr. Sevier davens before any of us even think of getting up. So Dr. Sevier already daven chakras, and he comes into shul, and everyone's davening. He say, oh, maybe I should daven with them? No. But when Shema Yisrael comes, and Aleinu, he does. So Aleinu must be very important. We saw two explanations today as to why. The Magen Avraham says there's an inyan after every davening, and the Bach says because of its message that should resonate in the Jew's ears when he leaves and he goes out to the big world. And we found nafkaminas before between them, but more importantly, we explained that Aleinu basically encompasses our uniqueness as a Jewish people. Have a good day, everyone.